A proposed rate increase for Alaska Power Company customers is suspended by the state for further investigation. And Southeast Alaska keeps an eye out for cases of measles. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Late Monday, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska filed a decision about Alaska Power Company's proposed rate increase. The company proposes raising power rates across the board to customers in Skagway, Haines, Prince of Wales, and some interior villages by more than 18%. The state has suspended that request, meaning more investigation is needed. The state has approved the request for a 6% interim increase in rates while the matter is being decided. That interim increase could be refunded to customers if the Regulatory Commission decides at the end of its investigation. We've posted the entire order from the Regulatory Commission on our KHNS News page and our KHNS News Facebook page. And we'll have more on this story on our Tuesday evening newscast. Alaska public health officials are keeping an eye out for cases of measles, especially in residents who travel to and from the Philippines. That country's health department last week declared an outbreak of the disease in parts of Manila, the capital. Alaska has a large Filipino population, many of whom traveled home for the holidays or who have been back there to help rebuild after Super Typhoon Haiyan struck the Philippines in early November. There's also many children who are not immunized against the disease in parts of Southeast, where going without immunizations is a deliberate family decision. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
The Centers for Disease Control has issued a travel notice for people going to the Philippines. The agency says all travelers to the country should get routine vaccinations, including the measles, mumps, and rubella shot. Most travelers are encouraged to get immunized against hepatitis A and typhoid as well. Dr. Mike Cooper, an epidemiologist with the State Department of Health and Social Services, says the risk of Alaskans contracting measles is pretty low, but
what's going on right now in the Philippines is a great reminder that we live in a very global world. You know, ease of travel has increased, and so things like measles, unfortunately, are still around.
Measles is a highly contagious virus that spreads through coughing, sneezing, and close personal contact with an infected person.
People get a fever, sometimes very high. They can get red eyes and runny nose and a cough. And after usually 4 days or so, they'll present with a rash, kind of a generalized splotchy rash that can start in their head and then move downward.
Cooper says the disease can be serious, even deadly, especially for the very young, the elderly, and those with weakened immune systems. Dante Reyes is president of Juno's nonprofit Filipino Community Incorporated. About 3,000 Filipinos call the capital city home, and Reyes says many of them travel to and from the country at least once per year.
I know that some of our members were traveling in the Philippines, and actually they were there. They left in last part of December and early January.
Reyes says he always goes to a doctor before traveling to the Philippines to make sure he's up to date on his vaccinations. He says most of his friends and relatives who live in Juneau do the same. In 1996, Juneau had the largest measles outbreak in the United States with 63 confirmed cases, mostly school children. 2 years later, Anchorage had the nation's largest outbreak with more than 30 confirmed cases. After that, the state started requiring 2 doses of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine for public school students. Dr. Cooper says there haven't been any outbreaks in Alaska since then.
It's one of those diseases where, you know, we've done a good job in the U.S. of lowering rates and getting rid of homegrown disease. But then when you get pockets of people that are not immunized, whether they declined it or didn't get immunized when they were children, or they, you know, as they got older, their immunity waned, they're vulnerable.
In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday night. It's a lengthy agenda, as seems common lately. But Mayor Stephanie Scott says that can be deceiving at times in how long the meetings actually take.
The items on the agenda are in almost all cases required by code appropriation of money or passing a law. And sometimes they're on the consent agenda, and that makes the the agenda long, but this is transparency.
Going through the agenda, there are several items that might be of interest to the public. The first is an ordinance to transfer some excursion inlet property to the state. That discussion might go into executive session because it involves contract negotiations. The land transfer stems from a debacle with the state after the borough foreclosed on a piece of excursion inlet property, sold it, and then the state said the property was never the borough's to begin with. Another ordinance up for public hearing deals with the land use codes. One would change the filing period for construction declaration forms, and another would revise the definition of personal use agriculture and reduce the permit fee for animal husbandry. The last two changes came about from a permit violation earlier this year having to do with chickens. The revised code, if passed, would increase the number of chickens residents are allowed to have, and it reduces the permit cost for having chickens. In her manager's report, interim manager Julie Causey writes the borough has been in contact with the Bureau of Land Management over the pending plea agreement local heliskiing company Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures has with the Department of Justice over permit violations for land use. She says she expects to have more information for the assembly at its January 21st meeting. She also writes she is in contract negotiations with David Sosa, who has been hired as the new borough manager. She doesn't have a specific date for when she will have a contract ready for the assembly's approval. Because Sosa cannot start on the job until spring, Causey in her report also details the FY15 budget that she, as interim manager, and Chief Fiscal Officer Gila Stewart are working through. Causey writes that because of possible reduction to revenues, she is asking department directors to develop two draft budgets, one that holds their current operating budget steady, and one that makes a 10% cut to this year's budget. She also writes she is using the comprehensive plan as a guide for next year's budget process. She is also considering a pre-budget workshop to look at economics and community priorities before the budget process gets underway in earnest. Under new business, the Assembly will decide whether the borough should enter into an agreement with the Chilku Indian Association about local road construction and maintenance. The tribe says some local road projects would be eligible for funds under the Tribal Transportation Program, and an agreement between the borough and tribe would allow CIA to spend those funds on the projects. Some of the most interesting items are ordinances up for introduction and may not actually be discussed by the Assembly on Tuesday. Those items include an ordinance allowing an exception to the limit that a borough employee can contract with the borough for other services. Currently, employees can contract or have a sales agreement with the borough for up to $500. Causey is suggesting that limit be lifted and exceptions be allowed with approval from the Assembly. There's also an ordinance that would change the process for how vacancies are filled on boards, committees, and commissions. Under the revised code, if passed, people to fill vacancies would be chosen by the mayor with input from the board, rather than the board making recommendations to the mayor and to forward to the Assembly for approval. And the last ordinance up for introduction would amend several items on the FY14 budget. Under other new business, the Assembly will vote whether to adopt a new procedure for amending the commercial ski tour area map. There is an appeal of a Planning Commission decision that will be discussed, and Assembly Member George Campbell has asked for a discussion on two topics. The first is to issue a request for proposal for towing and impound services to the borough on an on-call basis, and the second is to request the Planning Commission identify areas near town that might be suitable for a designated motorized park. And finally, the Assembly could decide on another executive session to discuss negotiations between the borough and Aspen Hotels for two downtown properties. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at the Haynesboro website. The Haynes Assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday night in Assembly Chambers. And basketball in the Upper Lynn Canal was in full swing this weekend. The Haynes Glacier Bear boys thrilled the home crowd at their season opener against Metlakatla on Friday. They trailed 32-23 heading into the fourth quarter, but stormed back to briefly take the lead. A last-second shot attempt for the win, though, rimmed out, and Haynes lost 46-45. Senior Justin Swinton led the Glacier Bears with 19 points, and junior Jordan Badger tallied 7. Metlakatla swept the series with a 52-34 win on Saturday. Swinton had 11 points, and senior Chevy Fowler added 10. The Glacier Bear girls traveled to Metlakatla, where they split the series. They lost Friday 22-41, with Libby Jacobson netting nearly half the baskets with 10 points. The second night, the Glacier Bears topped the Mischiefs 39-34, with Grace Jones scoring 12 points. In Skagway, both Panther teams swept the Don Hathor tournament over the weekend. Panther girls started with a 30-27 win over F.H. Cullens, moved on to a 39-10 win over Porter Creek, and finished out with a 27-21 win over Vanier. Hannah O'Daniel scored in double digits all three games, ending the tourney with a total of 61 points. Zoe Wassman followed with a total of 20. Panther boys mirrored the girls' wins, starting with a 57-38 win over F.H. Cullens, a 55-33 score over Porter Creek, and beating Vanier 49-40. Trevor Cox, Zach Wassman, and Donovan Henson led the team with tourney totals of 52, 49, and 17, respectively. The Panthers also faced Cake on Sunday, both squads falling to the visiting team. Cake topped the Girl Panthers 49-21, and the boys lost 28-58. Panthers also faced Cake again on Tuesday. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.